This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Yes, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi, brothers and sisters. We are going to keep talking about love today, the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because, well, I think a lot of you liked it. And it's not just that, because it's really, really important. And we don't talk about it enough. Often we talk about fear and we talk about all sorts of things, but often we don't talk about the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But, you know, as we talked about last week, it's a very important thing. And, you know, we were talking about what are the essential requirements or how do you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just to do a refresh, a recap for those of you, you know, for all of us to remind ourselves that the first thing we said we needed in order to love Allah is that you've got to love yourself. You know, I've realized, brothers and sisters, that the whole topic of loving yourself is itself a whole separate topic. How do you love yourself? What does it mean to love yourself? How do you learn to love yourself? I'm not going to talk about that today, but I think definitely, maybe even next week, I might talk about that, or maybe the week after, if Allah gives us life, because I think this topic might go on for a little bit. But today, we talked about why, at least to understand, that why is it important to love yourself? If you don't learn to love yourself, you cannot really love Allah. So we just went through all of that. If you didn't hear it, you can go back and listen to it. And then the other thing we talked about, which most people know this bit at least, is that love for Allah comes from developing gratitude. And gratitude is also something that we have talked about previously in some of our previous talks. Yeah. So, I mean, it's very obvious if from a perspective is that you feel generally you feel love towards those people who have done good things for you. And so when you recognize what Allah has done for you and you understand how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done for you, then of course you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more and more. So that gratitude attitude, we need to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's something you need to work on, brothers and sisters, always to be thinking about the different ways in which you can develop more and more gratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, we've talked about that previously. So today I want to talk about the third thing, which I didn't talk about last week. The third thing that I wanted to talk about, or the third, you know, way in which we develop our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is based upon the fact that Allah is the one who possesses the most perfect names and beautiful attributes, or the most beautiful names and the most perfect and lofty attributes. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the possessor of every single attribute of perfection. In fact, you know, when we say Subhanallah, you know what that means? Subhanallah. Subhanallah actually means we are saying that Allah is far removed from every imperfection. Allah is far removed from every imperfection. So now this is something that is natural and intrinsic to human beings. We love and admire beauty. We love it and we admire it, even though it may not do anything for us, right? I mean, in the sense that it doesn't do anything that we can, you know, that we can measure per se or as such, right? In fact, there may be some things that we would find awe-inspiring and beautiful, and we may even be overwhelmed with its beauty. It could even be dangerous. It could even threaten our lives. but we would still find it extremely beautiful. So look how people, for example, are drawn to climbing mountains. And many people, like, for example, you look at K2, for example, which is the second largest mountain, tallest mountain in the world. Half the people who have climbed up K2 have died. That's it, 50-50. If you climb up K2, your chance of survival is 50%. Half the people who've climbed up it have died. Everest also has claimed many, many lives. But you just need to watch some of the films, some of the footage of people who have climbed Everest, their experience that they had, not only reaching the top, but the whole experience of climbing the mountain. There is something about it that is that the human being just feels this awe. They feel this reverence. They feel, you know, the sheer beauty and the majesty of these places is something that draws the human being towards it, and we feel immense respect. This is something why that throughout human history, we have found these things, right? That there are places that are, you know, within the natural world that human beings have always revered and respected, and it's because of their beauty that on so many different levels. So that's something we can all understand and we can all appreciate. It's not that it necessarily does something for us. Like I said, it may even threaten our actual physical existence, but it doesn't prevent us feeling this sense of awe and admiration for those things. And then just on an ordinary human level, of course, in terms of human beauty, in terms of beauty, everybody, most people, most men want to marry a beautiful woman. And most, you know, women probably would like to marry, you know, a handsome, beautiful man. Look at Yusuf alayhi salam. Look at the beauty of Yusuf. Who would not have liked to see Yusuf alayhi salam? They said he had half of all beauty. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one of his characteristics is that he was extremely beautiful. They said he's like the full, his face was like the full, the moon when it was full. And you know, the Arabs at the time, they just had this great love, you know, you can understand the full moon because it gave off so much light, and because it must have been so beautiful, especially in the desert when it's so hot in the day. But when the moon is full, it's like you can see everything. It's almost like you can see travel when the moon is full. You can enjoy the nights, and the moon gives off this beautiful light to everything. So this is something the human beings, we just admire beauty. Similarly, we admire good character. We admire and respect people's honesty. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look how he was respected and admired amongst his people, because they even gave him that nickname of Al-Amin, the trustworthy, the truthful, and the trustworthy, because the characteristic of honesty, of being trustworthy, aren't these characteristics we all admire? Don't we really admire someone who you can trust? Someone you can trust with your life, as you say, you can trust your belongings with. But it's the characteristic that we admire, that characteristic of honesty, of truth, of trustworthiness, justice. Again, justice is something that human beings, we admire justice. Indeed, one of the things that really was pivotal in the spread of Islam, the early days of Islam, was the fact that the Muslims were so just. They were known for their justice. Indeed, people used to write to Umar ibn al-Khattab. They used to write, and they used to invite him to come and take over their lands. And they said, we prefer your rule to the rule of the Byzantines, even though the Byzantines are our co-religionists, they have the same religion as us. We prefer your rule to their rule because you are just. You see? So the Muslims had this reputation for justice. They were just even against themselves. They were just, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches, even against themselves, their own families, their own tribe. They didn't let the fact that someone was a Muslim or someone was from an important part of society, was rich or a leader, they didn't stop them implementing justice. When they committed injustice, they had to face the consequences. They had to face the judge. They had to face judgment, just like anybody else. So this is what Islam was known for. So all human beings, we admire justice, right? Generally, we appreciate compassion and mercy and forgiveness and tolerance. These are things that we admire strength, of course, and power. We admire also strength and power. We feel awed in the presence of something that has great power and great strength. I think perhaps, brothers and sisters, right, you're beginning to get the point that I'm making. Because when you look at the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you go through, you know, the 99 names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at them, go through those names of Allah, and you have to understand that every single one of these names is a name of perfection. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala possesses these attributes in the most perfect way. And so when we spend time contemplating and thinking and meditating and thinking deeply upon the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this will make us feel more and more love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. More and more love. This will fill our hearts with love, you see. So this is based upon the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who possesses the most perfect names and the most lofty attributes. So this is another thing, brothers and sisters, that really will help us to, you know, develop within ourselves that love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those are the three things. So the three things are, number one, you need to learn to love yourself. Number two, you develop that gratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the final thing is knowing Allah, knowing His names, knowing His attributes. Go through the 99 names. Read the Quran a lot, brothers and sisters. This is, I really, you know, want to keep emphasizing this, the importance of picking up the Quran, building this relationship with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let it be your constant companion. Let it be something that you are always referring to. There should not, no day should pass without you picking up the Quran. Because, and also following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because what is the proof of love? Because anyone can claim they love Allah. Anyone can say, oh, we love Allah. And we talked about this as well. Anyone can make those claims, brothers and sisters. But what is the proof? What is the proof? What is the reality? The reality that is, if you truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَحِبُّنَ اللَّهَ فَتَبِيُونِ يَحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Say if it is true, say, O Muhammad, if it is true that you love Allah, then follow me, and Allah will love you, and He will forgive you your sins, and He's the forgiving, and He's the merciful. So Allah told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam not to just accept people's claim, oh, we love God. If a person really loves God, if they truly love their Creator, if they truly know Allah and love Him, then the proof of that is that they would follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that applies to you, brothers and sisters, and it applies to you, and it applies to me. It applies to all of us, right? Anyone can say, yes, I love God. Oh, Allah, I love you. Anyone can make claims like that. It's just as the same thing. Your wife can claim she loves you. You can claim you love your wife. You can claim you love your parents and vice versa. You can claim you love your friends. What's the proof of that? Really? Can you really say that you love your wife and then you abuse her and you mistreat her and you oppress her and you do everything to make her sad and you do everything to make her unhappy. Really? I mean, no, that doesn't make sense, brothers and sisters, does it? I mean, perhaps, right, if your husband or your wife or your kids were really astray and they were heading down some path of destruction, and okay, you're not going to help them do wrong things. If you love them, you will try to stop them doing those things that are destructive. And maybe they won't like that, right? Okay, I understand that, but that's not what I'm talking about. You know, that's not what I mean, right? I mean, if your husband likes biryani and he doesn't like fish, fish makes him feel sick, and all you do is serve him fish every day, right? And you have the option. What does that say? What do you think that husband is going to feel? What do you think that wife is going to feel? Right? Yeah. So, no, brothers and sisters, obviously the proof that you love someone is in the way that you treat them. You think about what makes them happy. You think about what makes them sad. And you try to do the things that makes them happy. And you try to do the things, keep away from the things that make them sad. That's what you try to do. That's what love is, right? Okay. And that goes for everything, whether it's your friends, whether it's your kids, right? Whether it's your parents. Like I said, sometimes you will, do something that they don't like because you know what's good for them. That's a different thing. But certainly when it comes to Allah, that doesn't apply, right? I mean, because Allah knows, and He's telling us. You see, this is the thing, brothers and sisters. Allah has told us what He wants us to do. Allah has told us what are the actions that He loves us to do. What are the things that we can do that will cause Allah to love us? How can we express our gratitude to Allah? How? By following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by following his sunnah, by following his example, by trying to imbibe within ourselves. And that doesn't mean, by the way, brothers and sisters, only that we pray five times a day and we pray our sunnah mu'akkada. You know, what's a sunnah mu'akkada? They are the stressed sunnahs, the things that the Prophet, the extra prayers that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do regularly. Like the two rak'ah of Fajr, or the four rak'ah of Dhuhr, or the two rak'ah after Maghrib, or the Tahajjud, the night prayer. So these type of things, or the extra fasts the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do, and so on and so forth. Yeah, so there are, of course, many sunnahs, many, what's the plural of sunnahs? I don't know in Arabic. Anyway, there are many sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, many that he used to do. But it's not just those acts of worship, brothers and sisters, right? Actually, amongst the most important things is character. You see, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he didn't come except to perfect good character. He didn't, this is what he said, I have not come except to perfect good character, right? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on a very high standard of character, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran. So this is also very important, that we try to adopt within ourselves those characteristics of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his character. Yeah, his morals, his manners. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the best of morals, the best of manners. He feared Allah the most of all of us. The best you can do ever in terms of worship and characters and morals and manners is to make ittiba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَتَّبِعُونِي. Follow me, follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, follow his sunnah. And again, I want to emphasize, it doesn't mean, Some people think sunnah means wearing a topi and a shawal kameez or a thawb, and no. This is not even, most scholars, the vast majority of scholars agree that there's no religious virtue in this at all. None. Because it's not a religious thing. There's no hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that is authentic, as far as I know, mentioning the virtue of wearing a hat or covering your head. Although some people seem to think it's an obligation. There's no evidence for that. Show me a hadith where the Prophet mentioned the virtue of it. There's nothing, right? The only thing you can find is the Prophet mentioned the virtue of wearing the color white. That's about it, right? And obviously, there are certain requirements in terms of covering the shape of your body and your aura and stuff like that. But apart from these things, it's not sunnah to go around wearing a shawal kameez, a topi, an imama, or, you know, any more than it is riding a camel to work. If you arrived, you know, if you went around riding a camel or a donkey and said, well, the Prophet rode a camel and a donkey and I'm doing it because it's sunnah. No, that is not what the sunnah means. The sunnah, when it comes to Islam, is talking about those things that are acts of worship that bring you closer to Allah. The beard, by the way, is a sunnah. It's an act of virtue because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned it. He said that Allah ordered me to grow the beard and trim the mustache. So it's something that Allah ordered. That is part of something that is rewardable and that is a correct part of the sunnah, for example. Yeah. But these things, what are those compared to things like being just, being honest, being sincere and truthful, being merciful and being forgiving, being kind and being generous and looking after the poor and the needy and caring for the weak and the oppressed and giving dawah and enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong and seeking and practicing and teaching religious knowledge? These things, brothers and sisters, these are, you know, the real important, you know, a very, very strong and important sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you love Allah, that's what you need to be doing, brothers and sisters. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah said that my servant does not draw close to me with anything more beloved to me than the things that I have made an obligation upon him. And then he increases on those until he becomes the eyes with which I see, the ears with which I hear, the mouth with which I speak, the feet with which I walk, the hands with which I strike. And if he was to ask me for anything, I would give it to him. What does this mean, brothers and sisters? Right? Astaghfirullah, I want to say, it does not mean, as some people may misunderstand, that you somehow become one with Allah and you know, this is kufr and shirk. No. We believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawheed is to distinguish Allah from his creation. This is tawheed. Tawheed is to differentiate Allah from his creation. Laysa kamithlihi shay. There is nothing that can be likened unto Allah. So what does this hadith mean? It means that you will only look at the things that Allah is pleasing to Allah. You only listen to the things that are pleasing to Allah. You only say what is pleasing to Allah. You only walk to the places that are pleasing to Allah. You only lift with your hand and give with your hand and take with your hand which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what it is. Because between what you want and what Allah wants, there's not any difference anymore. You see, this is how you become beloved to Allah. This is how you become beloved. This is how you reach the stage where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. You become beloved to Allah. And at that time, if you reach that stage, this person, whatever they ask of Allah, Allah will give it to them. Right? So subhanallah, this is what we are seeing. And I was thinking, subhanallah, brothers and sisters, something to finish on. Yeah, some little point that I want to finish this little talk and little reminder on. Okay, and that is that I was thinking about something amazing. Now, I'm sure all of you know that. Do you know how to be more wealthy than Jeff Bezos or Bill Gates or the Sultan of Brunei, or, you know, think about who the richest, Musa Mansa, or think about whoever the richest people in the world were or are, right? Think about it, right? How would you like to be more wealthy than even those people? And you can do it. It's very easy. And you can do it every single morning, right? And all you need to do is pray two rakat or sunnah of Fajr. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the two rakat, the sunnah of Fajr, is better than the world and all it contains. It is better than the world and everything in it. So those two rakat. Wow. Now, I think most people, you know that hadith. But you know what? Who really behaves like that and thinks like that? Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? For how many people actually really, those two rakah of Fajr, Sunnah of Fajr, is more important to them than the world and everything it contains? Like, they actually treat it like that. Yeah. You know what? Put it this way. If someone was going to offer you £200 million, you know, money for life, unlimited fame and power, whatever you want from this world, right? Whatever you want from this world, right? But just one morning, tomorrow morning, all you have to do, you don't miss your fard. You don't have to miss your fard, right? Still pray a fard. You do the obligatory. You just miss the two sunnah of Fajr, and you need to do that to pick up all of this money, right? Honestly. Honestly, honest to Allah, how many people would take the money, would take the power, would take the fame? I can't say, honestly, I can't say my hand on my heart that I would say no. I would think, I can pray another two rakah tomorrow, right? Yeah, but I mean, how much am I going to lose? You know, I can get this opportunity every day. But, you know, I would think, what can I do with all of this money? I can look after my family. I can look after my friends. I can feed so many poor people. I could do all of these things. That's most, I would probably think like that. I would be very hard pressed to say, honestly, if you ask me to say, wallahi, I don't think I could say it. Honestly, I would be really tempted. I might even think I would be stupid. Really? So, I mean, the thing is that we know what the hadith says. We know the hadith says that those two rakah are more better than the world and everything it contains. But who really behaves like that? Do you get what I'm saying? But, you know, there will be a time when that's the reality. You know when? You know when Isa comes. Isa alayhi salam, Jesus. Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus the son of Mary, Al-Masih, the Messiah, right? When he comes, right? And after he has killed Ad-Dajjal, after the Juj wa Majuj, right, have all perished, and then it rains, you see, there will be this rain that will wash the earth clean for 40 days and 40 nights, it will rain, right? And then this will be the best time that there is on the face of the earth, right? It is the best time ever that, you know, a people will be able to sit under a pomegranate and eat a pomegranate, a group of people. A village will be fed from the milk of a goat. Yeah, so meaning this, and like they say, that, you know, the sheep will lie down next to the wolf, and you know, the baby will play with the snake. It will be a time of such peace. And the Prophet mentioned that two rakah will be more beloved to people than the world and everything it contains. So the people then, that will be the most thing that they will love more than everything in the dunya, is to pray two rakah. And I was thinking, think, You know, like you could understand that. Like, how, like, if anyone amongst you, brothers and sisters listening right now, right, loves going to the masjid, yeah, you must be missing it right now real bad. Right, so you imagine, if you imagine a Dajjal, all the fitna of a Dajjal, fighting a Dajjal, imagine the Juj and Majuj coming, imagine the hardships. Isa and his army is up on the hill in Megiddo, they're even chewing their sandals just to get some flavor of some food, right? There's such a hard time, and then all of this trials and fitna and everything ends. And can you imagine just the pleasure of being able to just pray, you know, two rak'ah? Yeah, I think you can understand. But you see, that's the thing, brothers and sisters, right? I think those people are really going to love Allah so much, really. They're going to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much. And they really will realize just how this dunya is nothing. How this dunya is really, really nothing. And that what is really important is knowing Allah and loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being close to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala and worshipping Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my brothers and sisters, I hope, you know, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who love Him. And I encourage all of you brothers and sisters again, you know, make friends with the Quran. Make it your companion, because the sunnah, what is the sunnah? The sunnah is actually an explanation of the Quran. That's what it is. The Prophet, the Aisha said that the character of the Prophet was the Quran. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was like a living example of how to live the Quran. You see, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a living example of how to practice what the Quran says. That's what the sunnah really is, you see. And then what is the Quran? The Quran really, at the end of the day, is an explanation of the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as Abdullah ibn Abbas said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. He said that to worship Allah, what does it mean? It means to know Allah. That's ultimately the objective, right? Of worship, of the sunnah, of the Quran, is so we can know more and understand more about who is Allah and His beautiful names and His lofty attributes. So brothers and sisters, please build this connection with the Quran, not just reading it in Arabic, which of course is very good, but also always trying to understand it. Brothers and sisters, Jazakallah khair. Thank you for joining me. As usual, don't forget to share this video. Who knows? We need to spread the love, brothers and sisters. Alhamdulillah, especially the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Love is such a beautiful topic. We could talk about so many things about love, inshallah. And we'll talk more about it, inshallah. Maybe next week, we'll talk about how to love yourself. I think that's important. How do we love ourselves? Lots of people, unfortunately, don't. How can they even get to the stage when they're loving Allah when people just hate themselves too much? Oh, it's sad, brothers and sisters, and there's too many sad people out there, and we have to bring some real happiness and true joy and peace to this world and these people who are suffering. And no one's really going to find it in the end except through knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So until next time, brothers and sisters, don't forget to share, because sharing is caring. And you take care of yourselves, brothers and sisters. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more importantly, may Allah take care of you. Try and implement this week some of the things that I've been talking about, because that's what it's all about. Knowledge is about action. Turn it into some action. Turn it into, go through the 99 names of Allah this week, brothers and sisters. Even just, you know, just once through the whole week, try and go through the names of Allah and think a little bit about them, inshallah. I will do that too. You do it, I will do it. And that's a little exercise, something we can do this week, inshallah. So until next week, brothers and sisters, or next time, you can join me for another one of my lives that I do, that I have various ones that I'm doing. I seem to be so busy now, mashallah, doing all these lives. But obviously, you don't want to listen to only me. There's so many, mashallah, good brothers and Shaykh and stuff, and sisters even giving talks these days, mashallah. Thank you for joining me. I hope you benefited. I really benefit from being able to talk about these things because it's a reminder for me as well. Actually, it is, it boosts me up. And honestly, these talks have been helping me, mashallah, because it reminds me, alhamdulillah, that's part of all the benefit, brothers and sisters. Let's support each other. Wa tawasaw bis sabr, wa tawasaw bil haqq, wa tawasaw bis sabr. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.